Last Sunday we dealt with Thanksgiving. Now we're getting ready to go back to the book. I don't know how many people have told me that have purchased this book, how they are enjoying it. Let me tell you something. This is a wonderful Christian writer. It's called Guides, God, Survival, God. Wonderful. We start off by reading the introduction. Thoughts are things. Powerful things. How you think, believe me. Our thoughts have the power to lift us up or to hold us back. Is that right? Say amen.
Amen.
Our prevailing attitudes have the power to create happiness or dissatisfaction, joy or pain, peace or stress, success or failure. Today's topic, feeling unfulfilled. Anybody here ever felt like that somehow or another was looking for life, looked like you were living your life, young or old, that you're a failure? Have you ever looked and said, you know, I haven't accomplished much? You get down on yourself, and then you think God didn't love you. Anybody ever felt like it? Well, of course you felt like it. Everybody's felt like it. Let's listen to what the writer says. Everywhere we turn, or so it seems, the world promises us fulfillment, contentment, and happiness. But the contentment that the world offers is fleeting and fleeting and fleeting. Let me tell you something. You want to get depressed, you turn your TV on. You turn your computer on. You turn the news on. You listen to the news. I don't care if it's local news or worldwide news. There's not hardly any good news out here anymore. And the Bible says toward the end, it's going to get bad. We're living in the last days. Don't forget that. Thankfully, the fulfillment that God offers is all-encompassing and everlasting. If you are feeling, good question, listen to it. If you are feeling unfulfilled, and if you like a solution to this dilemma, and it's a dilemma, try asking yourself two simple questions. Number one, two questions. Listen. Am I seeking fulfillment first and foremost through God? Or, there's always an or am I seeking fulfillment through other means? Question two. Am I using the gifts and talents? Listen to this question. Am I using the gifts and talents that God has given me? Or am I trying to use talents that I wished He had given me? I say this all the time, and I want you to understand something and believe this, okay? Every person that's listening to me and every person that's part of this congregation has a talent. You do. Some people have more than one. But everybody that is a child of God has a talent. You are worth something in the eyes of God. Give the Lord a hand of applause and thanks. The question is, am I a beautiful square peg trying to squeeze myself into an ill-fitting round hole? You ever felt that way? I'm different. I'm unusual. Anybody ever told you he's unusual? Amen. I have been the Lord. You're a different duck. I'm always saying, you're a different duck. Well, what's a duck supposed to be like? How different am I? What's a different duck? See, a lot of times ducks look like, I'm not 100, but ducks look like. If you're a different duck, I take it as a compliment. And believe me, there are a lot of different ducks in this congregation. You understand that? Because you know God expects us to be different. We're not going to blend in to the world. Now, it doesn't mean that it's all about me. But when Jesus is in me, it's all about Jesus.
Amen.
I'm to the Lord of heaven flock, right? Placing God first. Listen. God's word instructs us to worship Him and only Him. Yet we are solely tempted to do otherwise. We are tempted to seek fulfillment, listen to this, from worldly sources. And when we do, we distance ourselves from God as we mistakenly worship things such as fame, fortune, popularity, personal gratification. We find these pursuits unfulfilling. Somehow or another, Satan gets us confused. And it's because we allow it. The fulfillment is how big my paycheck is. Fulfillment is all about how I feel. Fulfillment is doing everything that I like. Fulfillment is having everything that I want. Let me tell you something, folks. When it comes right down to it, you need to understand this, especially if you're watching me by the internet. Now, everything in life is going to be perfect. And the sooner you get over that nonsense, the better off you'll be. Amen. There ain't nobody in this congregation or anybody watching me that's got a perfect life. I don't want a perfect life. Because if I had a perfect life, I would be tempted that I don't need Jesus. Make sense? If everything in your life is going well, what do you need Jesus for? Nobody's got a perfect life. Jesus himself was a perfect person, but he did not have a perfect life.
Amen.
Look what he had to go through. Look what he had to deal with. There were people that hated his guts. There were people that questioned every move that he made. And church people, religious people, were the worst enemies he had. And that's just the truth. He said one time, he said, I don't want to be around holy people because holy people think they don't need a God. I want to go where sinners are at because sinners have hope. Because sinners realize I'm not going to get to heaven unless I understand that my sin is forgiven. This ain't about being holy. This is about being a sinner saved by amazing grace. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Alright. The world makes promises that it simply cannot keep. The world promises, listen, pleasure and abundance. Yeah, it does. But genuine abundance is not a function of worldly possessions or personal gratification. Genuine abundance is a function of our thoughts, our actions, and our relationship with God. Let me read that one more time. Genuine abundance. It's not a function of worldly possessions or personal gratification. Genuine abundance is a function of our thoughts, our actions, and our relationship with God. The world's promises are incomplete. God's promises are unfailing. Man. Huh? Don't wake you up? Don't listen to the world. The world can't give you anything. And the world owes you nothing. Understand. The only way you're truly going to know what gratification, what being fulfilled in life is, and understanding what Jesus has called you, is for you to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Give the Lord a hand of applause for that. Stems from a common human failure. The failure of fully recognize and refine the talents that God has given each and every one of us. Each of us possess special abilities gifted by God that can be nurtured carefully or ignored totally. Let me tell you what this writer is saying. This is the truth. Everybody here has a talent. But that doesn't mean you're talented. That make sense? Let me share that with you again, because this is good stuff. Everybody here, if you are a child of God, has a talent. But it doesn't mean that you're talented. What this means is you have the ability. But it's up to you whether you fulfill that ability.
Amen.
Just because I have a talent doesn't mean I can use it. I can have the ability to sing, but if I never sing, the talent is useless. Right?
That's right.
That didn't go over your head, did it? That's some sharp stuff, isn't it? Man, I can have the talent to be nice, but if I'm never nice, it's useless. Oh, that hurt, didn't it? What is your talent? Some would say, I don't know. Well, there's a reason why you don't know. It's because once you know, you have the responsibility to use it. And a lot of us don't like responsibility. Do you like responsibility? Man, it gets a lot on your shoulders sometimes, don't it? Knowing that if you don't get up, and if you don't go to work, your family don't eat. Your family don't have a roof over its head. Your children won't have what they need. Oh, it's a big time responsibility to be an adult. But people, we got people that are 60 years old and not adults. Do you understand that? Adult is a frame of mind. When I act like an adult, when I speak as an adult, and when I act like an adult, then Jesus says you'll be rewarded as an adult. But when you act like a child, you're going to be rewarded like a child. That's what my dad always told me. He said, you act like a child, you're going to be rewarded as a child. And that wasn't a good thing. That wasn't a compliment. In other words, if you're going to cry, let me give you a reason to. You ever heard that? I mean, if you're going to cry, then let me just give you a whole reason to. You see, you've got no reason to cry. If you're going to gripe, let me give you a reason to gripe. But if you're going to praise the Lord, let me give you a reason to praise the Lord. See the difference? It's all about your attitude. And if you're unfulfilled, maybe it's because you don't want to be filled. We've got a lot of people that ought to be in this church, ought to be here today. But there's always something. And if there's always something, there'll always be something. I mean, I don't know what way to put it. If you're looking for a reason, you'll have a reason. If you're looking for a reason to come to church, you'll have a great reason. But if you're looking for a reason to stay home, you'll find it. What are you looking for? What do you want out of life? Okay, let me tell you something. This world's not going to give you nothing. But Jesus will give you everything.
Amen.
Doesn't mean that everything that I want, but I promise you this. As I stand here today, He'll give you everything that you need in life. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Each of us possess special abilities gifted by God that can be nurtured carefully or ignored totally. Our challenge, of course, is to use our talents to the greatest extent possible. We are mightily tempted to do the opposite. Why? Listen. Because converting raw talent into polished skill usually requires work. Oh, my lands have mercy. My dad always said, he said, do you want an allowance? You see, I quote my dad a lot. Because I thought my dad was nuts back in the days. He's been gone 10 years. Now he's one of the smartest men ever. He said, do you want an allowance? I want an allowance. And I want it now. He said, that's fine. He said, do you know how I get an allowance? I go to work. That's how I get an allowance. So that means you got to work. What do you mean? You got to work for it. You want an allowance? Then you do something. Well, what do you want me to do? Well, I want you to cut the grass. I want you to make your bed. I want you to take the garbage out. I want you to take a shower at least once a week. Yeah, you may not need it, but let's do it once a week anyway. Now, it's the same, but you got to reward your child to take a shower, but whatever it takes. All right? So he said, don't make no difference to me. Because if I don't pay you, I'll just pay somebody else. That's just the way my dad was. He said, you know, I'll spoil you, but you're going to work for it. So I did. Taught me some lessons. Now, my mother was a little different. She had the same concept. But here's where mothers are just a little different from dads. I'm supposed to make up my bed. Now, before I went to school, before I went to play in the summer, whatever it was, I'm supposed to make my bed. I had to teach just a Ricky House, or I hope he's watching. He spent a few nights with us. He got up, going by his day, said, where are you going? He said, well, I got a concert. I said, you do? Good. Is there something you're forgetting? No. I said, look at that bed. He said, what's wrong with it? I said, oh, you slept in it, didn't you? Well, yeah. I said, well, we make up our beds here. He said, are you serious? I said, oh, yeah, we make up our beds. That's the way I was raised. I didn't eat if I didn't make up that bed. My mother was pretty tough. So I said, go in there, that don't have to be perfect, but just make the effort. Well, that was a big mistake, because they didn't put a whole lot of effort in this bed. Now, I always made my bed. One day, I was going to school, and I forgot something, and I turned around and I came back, and I was driving at this time. I'm telling you, it was rough in my household. I had to drive to school uphill both ways. And 4 foot of snow. That was pretty rough on me. I turned around and went back home. Guess what my mother was doing? She was making the bed the way she liked it. I walked in and said, what are you doing? She said, nothing. I said, oh, no. Either I'm going to make the bed or you're going to make the bed. Who's going to make the bed? She said, you're going to make it. And she said, my suggestion is you get back to school because I may make it too. Sometimes the Lord has to come along behind us and sort of clean it up a little bit, doesn't he? Huh? All my mother's saying is, yes, I appreciate the fact that you're trying, but it ain't up to my standards. It's my home. If I want it up to my standards, I'll make it my standards, but I'm not letting you out of it. Just because we don't do it well doesn't mean that we can just say, well, I should never do it at all. Because after all, that's how most men get out of work. They mess it up the first time. You know, if I don't run the vacuum right, just say, well, here, if you can't do it right, I'll do it. Well, that's what I wanted you to do to begin with. Men are smart. Monica asked me to paint something one time. Well, I painted it, all right. I painted the wall, I painted the picture, I painted everything. I didn't paint no more. Pretty smart on it, Jim. Huh? We work harder at getting out of work than we do actually doing the work.
Amen.
And then we wonder why we're not filled and why. But Jesus is saying the same thing. Just because you jack got a talent don't mean you're talented. What we need is Christian people who want to be talented at their talent.
Amen.
You can't do it unless you practice, unless you work at it. I use sports all the time because it's I didn't get good at playing football or good at playing basketball if I didn't show up for practice. I have to keep doing it over and over and over and over. Then you got to get in shape, get in shape, get in shape, get in shape. And I know this is a bad day to bring up sports in the state of Kentucky. I apologize for that. Don't get my try, Jules, not here. We're all right. But folks, it is. That's an analogy. If you want to get good at something, practice. How do you practice as a Christian person? Number one, you show up. You show up to church and say, Lord, here am I. Help me out a little bit. Let me have a talent that I can use. You want to use your talent? Read God's word. You want to use your talent? Pray about it. Say, Lord, I want to do this for you. I don't care if you're a teacher of a class, knowing you got one student. If you touch that student, you're going to be rewarded in heaven as much as any teacher that's got 100 in her class. You understand that? It's not about volume, people. It's about quality of who we are. You want to be filled in life? You want to understand what you're all about in life? You put Jesus first in your life. And I promise you, you won't have everything that you want, but you'll have everything that you need. And that includes the talent to serve the Lord. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Close out with this. Place God first. Study His Word. Seek His presence. Obey His commandments. Powerful people. Then promise yourself that you will use God's gift to the best of your ability. And when you do these things, you can then lay claim to the joy, fulfillment, and the abundance that only God offers His people. You want to be filled in life with abundance? Go to the one who can give it to you. It's not your employer. It's not your family. It's not your hobbies. Don't seek out pleasure in things, because things disappear. Things wear out. Grace never wears out. That's why it's amazing. You ever noticed that? Grace doesn't wear out. Because it's amazing grace. It's amazing grace. You want to be fulfilled in life? Let's close out with some scripture. Okay, Mary, let's scripture. Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. And having gifts differing according to the grace that was given to you. Let me put that in everyday language. Every one of you has a gift. Every one of you has a talent. That's what it's saying. That was given to us. Whether prophecy, then let us prophesy according to the proportions of our faith. Or ministry, then let us give ourselves to our ministry. He that's a teacher, let him teach. Or he that builds people up, let him build, so that he can give to others. And he that ruleth, or he that has the ability to lead, do it with diligence. And he that shows mercy. Let me tell you something, folks. It's a gift to show mercy. Not everybody in this room has the heart to forgive. Do you understand that? I need that heart. Because I serve a Lord that forgave me.
That's right.
Do you get that? You get that, internet world? As God forgives me, I better learn how to forgive. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Let us stand, please, as Michael goes. Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus, how we're thankful for your grace today. Father, we have different ones doing different things today. We have a lot of people out doing whatever they're doing. of men that know they're missed. But more important, I hope they miss us. Father, to those who need a quiet time at this altar, Father, during this invitation, we're going to invite that. To those who need to come and let me pray with them, I would love that. To those who need to be saved, all you've got to do is come and say, Brother Roger, I feel guilt. I need Jesus. Let me walk you through. Let me introduce you to Jesus. Because folks, I'm telling you, one of these days, the last invitation is going to be given. And the trumpet's going to sound. It's time for God's people to get it right. Get in line. Get in gear. Get ready. Father, bless these times together. We're thankful for your presence in this place. In Jesus' name. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, would you come in the name of Jesus?